B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you want to play the season? Have you already mentally moved on to the offseason? Like, we're all in a weird headspace right now. Like, do you still think of the 2020 Celtics like, yeah, I want to see what this can do, what this team can do? Or are you just like, it's cleaner if we go on? Do you want to play as the GM? I assume you do.
Yeah, absolutely. These are the times that guys play for. And it's almost like we just played 60 games and it doesn't mean anything. So I think that I would like to finish the season. And I think most of the players, if not all the players, would like to finish the season and, move on the next year whenever.
All right, good for Danny Ainge. It's hour number two, Agenda Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Ainge on there with the Zach Lowe podcast. So it feels like that's where they're coming, they're inching their way back. I am beyond the point of getting frustrated at the fact they can't even get on the floor yet. And I do just continue to compare it to the UFC. We have guys rolling around rubbing blood on each other in a mat, even after one of them tested positive, and the Celtics can't even open up the gym for one guy to shoot on one rim with one rebounder with masks and gloves, and we still even aren't that spot. That just frustrates me to no end. Meanwhile, the Bundesliga is going to get going this weekend. Is that right? The German soccer
Correct.
League?
Yeah.
NASCAR is about to get up and running. I mean, for crying out loud, you open up the gym and let a guy shoot.
It sounds, not to cut you off, but it also sounds like MLS is going to be ready to go here in the next couple of weeks.
So there, it just feels like that gap. I mean, I understand there's different states and, you have to have something of a different consideration in a different part of the country given the outbreak in that region. I get that, but how can the gap be so great? How can the gap be so wide that in Jacksonville you can have these mixed martial arts guys breathe, spit, bleed into each other, rolling around on a mat, even after one of them tests positive. And here, we can't even get the gym open for one guy to shoot on one rim with a rebounder wearing the PPE and fully infected basketballs and shoes and all of this. Like, why is that gap so big? That to me is, again, I was going to say, I'm starting to get frustrated with that. I'm beyond the point of being frustrated with that. Can we close that gap a little bit and let the guys get in the gym and freaking shoot some baskets?
Well, I was just going to say, you know what the answer is to that, though.
What is
politics?
Is it?
Well, it's part of it. But look, we talked about this at the time. Look at the states that were opening up and the ones that were willing to house pro sports. States, the red states.
Politics accounts for some of it. Accounts for everything. But
sure,
that gap, that wide of a gap.
Well, it's never one thing, but politics are a factor.
Let me ask you this, if you can keep it non-political, if possible. It's hard. But what's the bigger outlier? Okay? Who's more unreasonable? Dana White in Jacksonville allowing one of his fighters to go to the mean mug session. What do they call it? The face-off. He let that fighter go to the face-off and the weigh-in after testing positive. Okay, and has still had two cards. He's had two nights already with guys rolling around, bleeding into each other. He's in the middle of this stuff without a mask or any PPE. So is that farther from normal, or the Celtics, you can't even get into the gym to have one guy shoot to one basket with one personal rebounder? Which is more outrageous?
Oh, I think the Celtics.
Me too.
So I don't love the idea of Dana White letting the guy show up, after they knew. Like, that to me is nuts.
I think this is nuts.
But the whole idea of having, the extremes that they're going through to have a guy shoot jump shots is preposterous. I mean, they're both pretty bad, but at the end of the day, if you have to go through that sort of thing to shoot baskets, what are we doing? Really, what are we doing?
I mean, this is, I just don't get how every single day now for 3 weeks, Billy, Stu and I are allowed to come into this building and talk about Marcus Smart potentially shooting baskets. But Marcus Smart can't go into the gym to actually shoot those baskets. That's just, what's the difference? What's the difference? We here are allowed to maintain this little bubble with a couple of people to do what we do. We've been deemed essential because sports talk radio is essential, in case you didn't know. even when there's no sports. So we've been deemed essential, so we're allowed to come in and do this. But is that it? That they haven't deemed basketball essential? I mean, if we can pull it off, why can't the Celtics be allowed to pull off the same thing? They're talking about the same numbers. They're not talking about bringing the whole squad yet. It's one guy, one rebounder, and a disinfected basketball. What's the difference? One host, one producer, and a disinfected microphone. Like, that I think is getting, it's not getting goofy. It's been goofy for a while. So anyway, there's that. The bubble idea, Ainge was asked about the whole bubble idea, which I feel the NBA is coming off of. But either way, well, maybe this speaks to it. Zach Lowe asked him about going into the bubble.
Would you, if the NBA does this bubble thing in Disney World or whatever, would you go?
Sure.
Okay. I don't think I want to go, but, you know, we'll see what the world looks like.
So stop.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying.
So stop. Shut up, Lowe. Who cares if you want to go? Don't go. Shut up. I don't want to go. Then don't go. Like, God. Like, that annoys me.
Big difference between the president of basketball ops for one of the teams in the league and a podcast. No, like, shut up.
It's just like, I mean, I don't mean to, like, rag on Zach Lowe, but it's like that little thing frustrated me. It's like, here's a team president who does have family, and he works with some of them, but, you know, he's got a life, too. He's willing to put himself in the bubble for 2 months because that's his job, that's his life, and that's his team. And so, yep, I'd do it. Zach Lemire says, well, I wouldn't do that. I'm not ready to do that. Who cares about you? Shut up. And I think that browbeat into Ainge to backtrack a little bit. Play me the whole cut.
Would you, if the NBA does this bubble thing in Disney World or whatever, would you go?
Sure.
Okay. I don't think I want to go, but, you know, we'll see what the world looks like.
I don't know if I want to go either. I don't know where I'm going to sit. I don't know if I'm going to be in the gym, if I'm going to be watching it on TV. I don't know. I'm not really afraid, but I don't think that that's in our best interest at this moment. I'm hoping that in the next 2 months we have things that make it easier and more comfortable. But so I'm confident that we will. I hope we will.
Okay, so the full bubble idea, again, did not go over well with the players, so they're trying to have a middle ground, something of a campus that you have some rights to go on and off of, but it's the honor system, you're going to be tested, you got to do the right thing, and that's why I feel that the NBA is going. But Ainge's initial answer is what I want to hear. Yes, whatever it takes. Yep, it's my life, it's how I support my family, I've dedicated my life to this sport, this team. Yep, whatever it takes, Zach. And he's like, I don't know if I want to do it, then don't go! Don't go. I don't know why that frustrated me so much.
Well, okay, because
Are you surprised at all that Ainge said it?
No,
that
not
he
at
would
all.
Go?
No, of course not.
I am a little bit. I'll tell you why. The guy's had two heart attacks.
Correct. But he, you know what, Maz? He's dedicated to his job, which I sort of respect and understand that instinct.
Yeah, in his case though, he can do the job without being there. And so, I don't know, if I were his doctor, I think I would say to him, I don't know that I want you going to this thing.
Well, that's
now
different.
Look, again, I don't know the ramifications of his specific case, so maybe he's healthy, and in which case, fine. But I wonder if some of that was just he felt obligated to say yes because the league is pushing for it.
I feel it was instinctive.
No, that was a quick answer. Yeah. I think he fully believes that. Yeah. And, you know, look, if anyone's terrified of this and doesn't want to leave their homes, I respect that. But I also respect the people that are like, what are we doing? Like, it's time to get back to work. And I think that's, you know, with Ainge's quick answer there, even though he's had two heart attacks and has pre-existing conditions, he's like, well, let's go. Come on. Yes. I'd go. All right, let's go.
And if his doctor says no, his doctor says no. If his family says, Danny, think about this, you know, and he changes his mind, then I get it. But I'm just talking about the instinctive answer. Yes, I'm in, whatever it takes. Like, that I get. And I just sort of, I don't know, appreciate it. It hits home with me more than the guy's like, well, I don't know. I'm not going to do that. I don't care if you're there or not, Zach Lowe. You're not important to the bubble. I don't care. And I have no personal issue against Zach Lowe. I'm just, that little snippet there frustrated me. So it's like, I don't know. If it's important to you, you're going to do whatever it takes. And oh, by the way, it's just not that bad. It's not that bad that you go to Disney World for 2 months. It's just not that bad. All you can do now is stay at home anyway. So what's the difference versus, I guess you'd rather be at home versus the Four Seasons Orlando, but is it really that bad? Because all you have right now is home and work, home and work, home and work. So that home becomes a different environment that's really nice, by the way. And it's home and work. That's all you're allowed to do anyway. unless you're not doing that, unless you're violating that in some way, shape, or form. So I don't want to hear that. There's nothing to do, or you can't contain me in a bubble. That's where we all are now anyway. So anyway, Zach Lowe's out. Fine. I think they'll be able to still put it on if he's not there. Here's Kevin in the car on virtual fans. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
All right, cool. Typically, I agree with Felger on this issue. I think it's pretty phony having the fake fans. But I think there's really one sport that could lose a lot from this. And I think it's the hockey playoffs, and I'll tell you why. I think, think back to the Toronto series and watch that back. If you watch any of those goals, try to take out the fans and how unexciting that is and how dry that is. It's just something about having the fans explode after you've been waiting like two periods for a goal. It really adds to the value. I think you're losing a lot in the hockey playoffs with that. So I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, my thought is I think you'll adjust pretty quickly. I think you'll surprise yourself how quickly you adjust to just watching the game and forgetting the fact there's not even fans there. That's my guess. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but that's just my guess. That hockey will pull it off, and to the point where you won't even notice they're not there after a few games or a few periods even. And I don't know. We'll find out about that. Hopefully, and this is my desire, they don't fake it. They don't fake it because of that. Well, remember the crowd in Game 7? So let's give them the crowd from Game 7 and let's fake the noise. I hope we don't get that. I don't need the fake orgasm, Maz. I don't.
Yeah, look, I told you. It's fine with me as long as you don't know it's fake. If you can hide it well enough that it feels real, then I'm in.
Stephen Tewksbury, what do you got for us today?
Hey, we made it through another week. Hey, listen, earlier this week, Maz was talking about the duct systems in the office buildings. Do you think a lot of the owners for hockey and basketball would invest money to have it changed so that they could put fans in?
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about fans in the seats, but their big, big, big moneymaker, luxury suites. Some of the restaurants.
All right, Steve. Let me just stop you. My old man, my father, Rocky there, sent me a link about this UV disinfectant technology that you can put in the ducts of your HVAC system, Maz. You have to know about this.
So, the only reason I'm nodding is because I think that you're going to see companies explore this kind of stuff, which is, you know, what types of gadgets, for lack of a better word, can they put in or install in their buildings that can make it a safer, cleaner environment for people? I think this is going on everywhere, not just in sports. The only question I have, I was telling you there was a study, and it was a link I sent to you as well, in fact, both of you, that showed that if the ventilation system is circulating the air in one direction, those people in the room, on that side of the room, are far more vulnerable than other people if someone in the office is sick. I don't know how that you can fix.
Well, I stunned you don't know that you can't answer my question, but
right.
I guess it was ductwork with the UV disinfecting technology in it. So maybe that air that's circulated, Maz, is zapped inside of the ducts. So by the time it gets circulated to the other end of the room, it's been zapped by the UV disinfectant.
So it's zapped like instantly.
I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay. So if that's possible, then fine. I mean, that makes all the sense in the world. I had a discussion with someone the other day about some of the stuff that offices and whatnot are doing now, and that they might even be able to put in mechanisms that can spray the room basically and kill anything. But I think that happens within like a 2-minute span from what I understand. And I don't know. Can it live for 2 minutes and still blow over to someone else? I have no idea. I'm just telling you that. I think you're going to see. I think workplaces are going to have all this stuff, you know, standard now going forward.
We continue with your calls on an agenda-free Friday right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Maz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Maz.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5 The Sports.
Sports Hub.
Let me just go to you. If you were an active player right now, what would your position on all of this be?
Well, these are unprecedented times. And first of all, Tony Clark is right. This is not the time for players to be backing down, other than the fact that this is a pandemic. So any other year, I'd be on the player's side. I would say, yes, don't back down, guys. But this year is different. And I think we have an opportunity as an industry to come together and understand that sacrifices are being made all around the nation, all around the world because of this pandemic. And as Jeff talked about, players could actually make more money as a percentage of revenue under this plan than they normally would. So 50-50 sounds like a very reasonable plan for the players to accept.
So that's Mark Teixeira. Well, you know it's bad when a player breaks ranks like that. Now, he did that early in the week, and I guess he sort of backtracked on that a little bit.
Yeah, why do you think?
He did. He softened the message the next day, and I'm guessing he got calls from Boris and the PA and other players and said to him, hey, what are you trying to do to us? You know, and the reality is they're doing it to themselves.
Well, Maz, before the phone calls, he was getting blood on Twitter from players. Alex Wood, most prominently, the pitcher with the Dodgers.
So I told you that the worst part of the Blake Snell comments was that they weren't outlier comments. They weren't stray sort of mistake. They weren't outliers. That's how the players union feels. That's how the players he represents. I said he's the MLBPA spokesman, for crying out loud. And that, I think, was confirmed today when you've got guys like Bryce Harper, Nolan Arenado, as you mentioned earlier, Trevor Bauer coming out and saying, yeah, we agree with Blake Snell. You know, they back him up. They backed him up, for crying out loud. Bryce Harper saying he ain't lying. He's speaking the truth, bro. I ain't mad at him. Somebody's got to say it. At least he manned up and said it. Like, these guys, how completely out of touch do you have to be, and oblivious do you have to be? But that's the Major League Baseball Players Union. And this is why I think it's a big reason why the game has suffered, because these guys have gotten so obstinate and so obstructionist and so, detached from reality, that you can't get them to move on anything or agree to anything, including the measures that have to be taken to improve the game. And that's my real grudge against the players union. You know, you ask them to speed up, and David Price says, quote unquote, nope, ain't doing it. I'm taking my time. And well, that is like, so if you're going to take that stance on something that I really care about, I'm against you on everything. And so I'm against the players on this. And I told you that Snell was not just an outlier opinion. That's the way these guys really feel, Maz.
So look, again, the message they send is there's no willingness to cooperate. None. Zero. And so how are you supposed to react to that other than say, okay, you're not going to cooperate? Fine, don't. Fine, we won't either. There you go. And I told you, if I'm the owners at this stage, whether they're going to lose $4 billion or not, and so here's what I would say, you know, and this is what I would say to Rob Manfred. If the games aren't played, you're going to lose $4 billion? Okay, well, then you know what? Lock these suckers out. See how much they lose and see if they're willing, because your pockets are deeper than theirs. Fight them. See what happens. Pick the fight.
Oh, I'm dying for the owners to finally take them on, finally take a stand against those players. It's so desperately needed. It's the only way the game's going to be saved, is if the players get back control of their game. Now, I'll just say this in the interest of fairness. I do think that the players, I read this story today, that the players are in the right, at least on this one thing, and that is that the lawyers for the Baseball Players Union have asked Major League Baseball to submit a slew of financial documents that detail the industry's finances. A person familiar with the request told the Associated Press, baseball owners on Monday approved a proposal that would lead to the coronavirus delayed season, starting with revenue sharing, da-da-da-da. But the players' union has now asked for financials. Owners gave the go-ahead to propose basing the players' salaries on a 50-50 revenue split, which the union says is a salary cap and a framework players will never agree to. The type of financial disclosure the union asked for is more common during overall CBA talks, which play out over many months or years rather than the limited negotiation time available now. So this, I take that as a positive sign. I think the players are absolutely in the right to ask for it, by the way. If the owners are going to say we're losing this amount of money or we want to split the pie, then the players have an absolute right to say, well, show us your work. Show us how you're losing your money and show us what the pie actually is, and then we'll talk further. So I'm with the players on that specific thing. And I think it's okay for them to ask for it. I don't know if they're going to get it, but I take it as a good sign. even that they're asking for it, Maz, because maybe that's some sort of tacit acknowledgement they would consider a revenue share if we see the books, right?
Yeah, I look at it as calling their bluff. That's what I think.
Yeah,
it is.
Maybe.
I that's what I look at. I think they're calling the bluff because I don't think the owners are going to give it to them. They'll give them some sanitized version of it because, again, when you say they're looking for documents, you can always whip up a set of documents and tell the story you want them to tell. You need the documents. You need tax returns. You need that sort of stuff. You know, payment history, all that kind of stuff, like official documents. And I have a hard time. Look, if baseball owners give it to the players, then I give them a lot of credit. Mike, I can't remember an occasion where ownership of any league has opened up the books and allowed the players to see it.
I mean, there's grades of it. The hockey is, I don't know if it's totally open, but the reason you haven't heard money in the NHL is because they already have a system in place where they true up the revenues, where they find out exactly what they made in a given year, and then they go back and adjust, if not salaries, escrow accounts. It gets very complicated. But hockey has what they call a true up system, where they actually, there is a lot of transparency there. So the players see exactly what was made or lost, and then caps and monies are adjusted accordingly. So it varies by the league, Maz. The NFL, by the way, is completely closed because I think they're doing the most nefarious stuff. Just the expenses or the salaries of, especially because they're also team owned. There's also team centric. You look at all these mastheads. I've said this a million times. You know, team president's the kid. The team vice president is the grandkid. It's all the kids. And so what's their salary? What's Stephen Jones's salary? What's Carolyn Jones's salary? What's, you know, they can hide that and they do hide it. And I think the NFL's the worst. I think you found out what some of these family member team executives made. I think you'd be grossed out. I think you'd be disgusted. And those are passed off as operating expenses. So those books, closed. Other leagues aren't quite, you know, I don't know if anyone tells you what, you know, Charlie Jacobs makes, but I think that in hockey, again, I'll just say it, there is that true up system that doesn't exist in other leagues. All right, Patrick.
I just think baseball's I don't think they're going to be too willing to do it either.
Billy in Rhode Island, waiting patiently. Thanks for hanging on, Bill. What do you got?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with your last comment about the unions. You know, the unions, we all know, were formed just to protect people way back when they were treating them like dogs in warehouses and so forth. But now we get to a point where they're giving guys $400 million. I mean, they're backing themselves right into a corner. They really are. And that's what's hurting the game. It's killing the game. The owners are killing the game. The greed got to them, and they're getting paid. And they're making a lot of money, and eventually it's going to bust because you're not going to be able to afford anything to go to a game.
Yeah, Billy, I don't begrudge them having a union. And there was a time baseball players needed it, and they did a great job with it. It's just, it was too good. Like, they've done too good of a job, and the owners have let them go too far to the point where the balance of power has switched. It's the only league where the players have more power, and it's not good for the game. I'm sorry, the owners have to get back control of their game.
I mean, I think it's a big problem. Again, I think the players tend to be obstructionists and they really dig in. And, you know, this is what happens when you give people too much power and they don't really deserve it or know how to use it. It becomes a, and look, I'm not telling you that I want the owners to have too much power either. I just think that scale has tipped too far in the side of the players, and the pace of play thing, I'm sorry, it did. It put me over the top because it's insulting. The game's got a pacing problem. Everybody knows it. And the players basically stick up their middle fingers every time they're asked about it.
We continue with your thoughts on Agenda Free Friday after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Have you had any players, don't name them, but have you had any players express concern to you or Brad that you've heard of I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared about what playing would look like. Or I'm a little scared of, like, is it a good idea for us to play? Or are all your guys just like, tell me when we can open the facility, I'm ready to play games?
I haven't had anybody share concern just because we're not close to the time. So our next phase in Massachusetts has been one of the slowest at opening things up. And so our next phase is we'll open up our facility. We're hoping to do it next week. And it's one-on-one work, one coach, one player, coaches with masks and gloves, players in the gym. Disinfect the gym. So I don't think anybody's afraid of that.
Right.
If I said we're 2 or 3 weeks away from playing, I'm sure there would be some players that would have some trepidation, but I think everybody's just really anxious to play right now. That's what I think.
Again, 1-on-0. They can't even get 1-on-0 going. We hope next week. We hope. That's taken way too long. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And I'm not telling you to bang out the garden tomorrow. And, you know, I'm not saying that. First step is get the guy in the gym and get some shots up. 1-on-0. We're hoping for next week. What would prevent them from doing it next week? What would prevent them from doing that?
Well, Mike, what's preventing them from doing it now?
I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, look, again, that one to me feels, you know, from the beginning, I think most of us agree on this. The idea of a guy being in the gym and shooting while one other guy wearing gloves, a mask, and sanitized sneakers. If you can't do this, then what the hell are we even spending the energy doing the rest of it for?
Oh, my God. And Zach Lowe's like, are guys scared? Like, scared of what? Shooting baskets with a guy in full hazmat suit rebounding? What are you going to be afraid of? I mean, God, if that's how far they are, then, you know, wow. Holy smokes. How far can they be? And I brought it up many times, but I just can't get over the dichotomy of that being where basketball is or hockey is. You know, they haven't opened up the, you know, there are some NBA teams that are actually doing this. 1-on-0 with one rim, one shooter, one rebounder. So some teams are actually doing this. In hockey, I don't even think they've got one sheet open for one guy to twirl around on the ice, which is just preposterous. And meanwhile, again, I'm sorry, I keep bringing it up, but in Jacksonville, Florida, at the UFC, they are rolling around in each other's secretions. I was like, so how could there be that big of a gap? Like, I understand different scientists and different, you know, experts have different ideas. There's differing opinions. How could the gap be that big? How could the gap be that big where one doctor says it's safe for them to be doing what they're doing in Jacksonville, but not safe to come in here and shoot some baskets in Boston? Like, it can't be, the gap can't be that big. So someone's overreacting or underreacting. And I'm voting on the overreacting up here is what I'm voting on. And so, for the love of God, the Dana White stuff, though, I just loved. I mean, not that I love his sport. I don't consume his sport. But, you know, the attitude he took after the thing was just striking. Like, Zach Lowe's like, are you afraid? Well, I'm not going. Like, meanwhile, Dana White's like, F it. Of course, if we can do it, we'll do it. Here was Dana White, you know, one of his comments.
Listen, I got over 350 employees with families, the fighters. It's almost like this thing... Like I said, this thing with the media that was going on, what is wrong with continuing to do what you do if you can do it safely? And I just never understood, why don't we figure out solutions to these problems? And guys, I got a really nice house. Great house. I've had, you know, the time that I've spent in my house, I've had a blast. My kids are home. You know, it's been a great couple of months, to be honest with you. And I could just stay home and do this too, but why? Why do we have to do that if we can honestly figure out how to do this safely? Why?
Okay, I hope he's right. Again, he's had two events already. Hopefully, we don't. I mean, again, I don't know that he's right. I hope he's right.
But just for me, I think that, I mean, that attitude, I don't know. I love that. I think the world needs more of it because he's basically telling the perpetually offended and appalled, I'm not listening to you. Like, I have my interests here. If you're going to be mad about it, oh, well, I'm moving forward.
Well, we're going to need it at some point. because we can't just continue to shut ourselves in and wait for a vaccine that, A, may never come, or if it does, is years away potentially. Like, it's just not, you know, somewhere in there, there's a happy medium. Again, I thought we'd be farther along now than we are. The idea, like, I don't think this part can be emphasized enough. The idea that a professional basketball player can't walk into a team facility and shoot baskets with one other person in the gym with him, or maybe three others, you know, but one on his end of the court, to me, is blows my mind.
Maz, this was preposterous 2 weeks ago.
And that's what I mean. Because, again, think of it. We're walking into grocery stores. Like, we're doing that sort of stuff. And so if, you know, now granted, people are taking precautions, but there are way more people in those grocery stores than there are going to be in a basketball court, especially if you're testing the guy on the way in.
Oh, my God.
Like, it makes zero sense.
And, not that a one-on-zero, you know, shoot-around is getting close to playing, but it is the first step. So once everyone feels comfortable with that, then instead of one-on-zero, maybe you get one-on-one and you can post somebody up. And they do that for a couple of days and they realize, okay, you know, we didn't spontaneously combust. We're all okay. And then the next week they come back and, ooh, even try three-on-three. And the next thing you know, you're five-on-five and the next thing you're playing. Like this. So, but the first step has to be to open the freaking door. And they open the door for crying out loud already on that. Long commercial-free segment is next. More Dana White coming your way.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
You know, the bottom line is the system worked. The system is you want to find people that, you know, what you don't want to do is 2 days after the fight say, oh, Jacare tested positive for. So it worked. I mean, the system worked that we put in place. I mean, most of you that are here have worked with us for a long time. You know how we are. Without sounding like a jackass, we're really good at what we do. We're very, very good at what we do. And the way that this week went, we'll just get better. We'll get better by Wednesday. Then we'll be better by Saturday. And then after Saturday, we'll start to catch our stride and really get this thing dialed in and get it figured out. And the longer this goes, the better the testing technology is going to get and the faster it will get. We're going to prove by next Saturday professional sports can come back safely.
Again, I hope he's right. I am rooting for him. That's Dana White. Your thoughts here real quick. We go back to him. Rick and Merrimack. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi. I wanted to join in on the conversation about ownership versus player / employee. You know, it's just if you look at it from a business aspect and with what Blake Snell is saying, he wants all the money and, you know, if the stadium is empty and things of that nature. I mean, if you look back at it and we want to have the owners disclose their profit and loss, okay, well, why are the Green Bay Packers the only team in sports in North America, USA anyways, that are officially publicly owned?
Yeah, Rick, your point. Get to your point, please.
Okay, so my point is, you know what, if another MLB player ownership, were to go IPO, then they would show the players their true profit and loss, and then there would be less ambiguation about the subject.
Agreed, Rick. Thank you. Agreed. Agreed. How much is your team president? Who's the owner's son making? Oh, he's drawing a $20 million salary? Well, and you're putting that down as an operating cost? And you're claiming that you're only making X amount? Well, if Spalding took $5 million instead of $20 million, well, there's, you know, I mean, like, that's it. That's the crux of it. Why the NFL owners will never open up those books. But I think it's fair to be asked. I think it's fair, they don't have to. It's not by law. I mean, that's not,
But given this situation here where they're asking for revenue sharing, it is within the player's right.
Totally fair.
Right. If there's going to be revenue sharing, and I mean, ideally, everything's above board. Everything's above board and is transparent. This is what comes in. This is what we make. This is what we pay you. And we feel you deserve this percent of our profits based on this. And it's all out in the open. No one's trying to sneak anything by anybody. And, you know, ideally, that's what you want. Now, it doesn't quite work that way. The owners call the shots, and so they're not going to tell you what they pay Spalding. But if the owners are going to say revenue share and we're losing this amount of money, the players have a right to say, show us. Show us.
Oh, there's no question they do. Yeah, there's no question they do. And so, look, again, you know, I don't, the more I think about it, the more I don't dismiss the idea that the owners were taking a long-term bargaining position with regard to the CBA that's up at the end of 2021. So I just don't think, when push comes to shove, I don't think they're opening their books for the players. I'd be surprised if they did that.
David on Cape Cod. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Just want to say I'm 68 years old in 2 weeks. I've been out on the road every day, 10 hours a day, working in job sites with subs all around me. We all wear masks, and no problem.
So I don't get that. I'm going to drop you because I didn't like that line.
I don't know what the hell that means. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. I don't want to go any farther with it. Scott in Rockland. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, very quickly before I get to my point, I just want to say that I pride myself on not looking to Jacksonville, Florida, the way to behave. But
it's a fair point, Scott.
My actual point is that this whole nightmare might be a positive development for CBAs in the future, or collective bargaining in general, because there's no threats of what would happen if the game shut down. Everybody knows exactly what would happen if the players strike or if the owners lock out. So, you know, I think that as we go forward, the collective bargaining is going to be a little bit smoother and easier because it, you know, the scare tactics of losing a season won't work.
So I don't quite understand the point, Maz, do you?
No, he lost me a little bit, too. He lost me a little bit, too. And then, Murray, go ahead. It seems like you might have an answer.
No, I don't know.
Well, so I just hope this gives the owners some backbone or, you know, gives them the excuse to grow a set of balls and finally take on those players. I mean, that's what I'm hoping the impact is here, that you've already lost half of your revenue. You've lost half the season. So what's it really to you if you lose the full season? So use this chance to finally stand up and take a stand against the players and see if you can start to carve your way out to getting your game back. And so, you know, I would hate to use these circumstances for that end, but well, so be it. I mean, I think that's their opportunity. You've already lost a lot of it. So what's it to you if you lose another half season? Start the process of standing up to these guys.
I have felt for a while now that the owners need to go to war with the players. It's the only way, you know, the only way you're going to crack the players is if you go to war with them. Let them sit out of work for a while and see how they like it.
They need a commissioner that's going to rally the troops. To this point, I haven't really been hard on Manfred. Like, what's he supposed to do? But, and that's been my stance to this point. Like, he's sort of powerless. Well, you know what you can do is you work for the owners anyway, right? Like, that's what the commissioner is in all these sports. He's just an ownership puppet. But how about you lead them? How about you lead them? How about you convince them, the owners? You're not the players' commissioner. You're not supposed to be. The players don't, you know, consider you their commissioner, etc. So just give up on that pretense and rally your bosses to actually, for once, stand up and take their game back. And Manfred won't do that. He's too busy sucking up to the players and kowtowing to them. They need Dana White. They need Dana White. You think Dana White would go down there and take any crap from the I just liked his post-fight sound. I want to play it again. Like, how about Dana White bitching at his own media, the UFC media, that was crying about him putting on that card last week? You hear what he said about his own media? Play that, Jimmy, if you would, please.
I think it was just everybody trying to shut you down.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. Literally, you know, media. Media calling, hammering these guys. How can you let this event happen? Media who cover this sport. Cover the sport. And I'm like, wait till they start getting laid off. Right? If I can pull this off safely and everybody can still work, you guys can still have a sport to cover and you know, So let me tell you what, when these media companies, you got the guys who cover the NFL, you got the guys that cover Major League Baseball, you got the guys that cover the NBA, and you got the guys that cover MMA. Who do you think's going first? I promise you it's not the NFL guys, okay? I'm trying to get this thing going and put on fights, and the guys who are supposed to be covering this sport are calling and hammering these guys, the athletic commissions and the venues, and the just, I can't wrap my brain around that one.
This guy cracks me up. Want to hear him call that lawyer a weasel again?
Yeah, that is, yes. That was the best sound of the week. No, so
this was the best sound of the week. It's agenda free, so we, everything from the week. This was, again, I didn't even bother looking up the story. I don't care about the story. I just, like, there's no other commissioner of any other sport who talks like this. So someone asked him about his fighters signing non-disparagement or non-disclosure agreements, or the fighters said they couldn't talk about that, blah, blah, and it set Dana White off. Go ahead,
Steven Espinoza alleged that you guys have a clause in the contract that means you can take away the fighters' money if they say disparaging things about the company. I just wanted you to hear your reaction to that.
Say that again to me.
Steven Espinoza tweeted that you guys have a clause in your contract that could take the fighters' purse away if they say something negative about the company. I just wanted to give you a chance to respond to that.
That's not true. First of all, there's something in the contract for disparagement.
Right.
There's a disparagement clause in there that's in all of our contracts. Isn't that creepy looking little a lawyer? Isn't that creepy little goofball a lawyer? Does he not know what disparagement means? If you disparage the company, I'm not even a fucking lawyer, and I know the answer to that question. Yeah, it's disparagement. It'd be like if you came out and said, they never tested me. The UFC never tested me for the coronavirus. But if you came out and had something critical to say about the testing that was true, that wouldn't be disparagement.
Tonight it was announced that Amanda...
law school did he go to? I can't stand that fucking creep. Anyway, if you couldn't tell. Go ahead.
Is that based from the Mayweather-McGregor stuff?
Is the what?
Do you dislike him because of Mayweather-McGregor and the interactions you
have? He's just a fucking... Look at him. Creepy little dude.
That is tremendous. That is... So that was my favorite sound from the week. That poor guy.
You don't give two Fs. I love it.
So, creepy little dude.
Your thoughts on everything. We have Christopher Gasper standing by. We have to get back to the McDaniels and Brady situation. Chris, a lot of you had a problem with Gary Myers. Chris Gasper co-signed on Gary Myers reporting. So we'll hear Chris Gasper's thoughts on that. I know he has thoughts on the Patriots quarterback situation overall and the MLB situation and those Blake Snell comments. All coming your way after Murray's 90-second updates. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.